Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Looking for Love in All the Wrong Dust Jackets, a show where three disgruntled harpies talk to you about everything we love in romance, whether that's books, movies, TV shows, whatever we like. My name's Liz.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Wiggles.
And welcome to the episode. Today, we're talking to you about A Touch of Darkness by Scarlett St. Clair. But before we get into that, I gotta warn you, I gotta let you know that we're rude. We're crass, we swear, we talk about all of the bedroom activities. So if that will offend you or upset you, I'm sorry. But you know, now you know.
You have been warned.
Because it's my super short show.
There you go. There you go. Cool. What have you guys been up to? Talk to me. Tell me what's going on.
So, I thought I was pretty much finished with Not Your Crush's Cauldron. And I was bemoaning, I believe, last week how little of the spice had shown up. It showed up.
Oh, it showed up in a big way, didn't it?
It showed up. And let me just say, okay, he is pierced for her pleasure.
Oh, hell yeah.
That is our angel boy, Vax.
I'm gonna borrow this book from you.
I did audio because I did the first one audio, so I'd done the whole series audio, but otherwise I would give it to you. I'm sorry.
No worries. I know where to find them.
Yep. and like, he's a tattoo artist, which you find out, and he makes a tattoo for her that he puts in not an intimate place, but more intimate than like a shoulder.
Okay.
All right.
On his ass?
No. He puts it tattoos on her.
On her ass?
No, not on her ass.
Did he tattoo her muff?
No, I just literally just said not an intimate place, but more intimate than your shoulder, and you went muff? No. God. No.
That no
Don't
one needs,
do that.
No one needs to come anywhere near me with needles and that situation.
No. But the point is, there's also, and maybe this was just a little triggering for me. Olive's a professor, and there was definitely some professor play.
Oh, we did a little role play, did we?
So there's some stuff to look forward to in that book. You just gotta wait for it.
I don't remember the first book being spicy. Like, I remember there being like not fully closed door, but like not really open door either spice. It was just kind of like, and bloop, we did it.
Maybe the author was just dipping their toe in.
I think so. Well, no, because like she's got other books that are like crazy smutty. So maybe she was like, oh, for this style of book, I maybe shouldn't go all out. And I think progressively that has changed over the three books where she's like, no, I want fucking.
So do we. So
hell yeah.
So I read that. Danny.
Well, not gonna lie, I didn't do a whole lot this weekend because I had I didn't do the shit that I should have done last weekend. Mm-hmm. And so there was, it was a lot of, well, one, apparently there's an audiobook for this book. I did not realize there was. I could not find it. So I did read it. It is a very quick read. Mm-hmm. However, at first glance, you look at it and it says that it's like 300 some pages. And I was like, okay, so it's not a horribly long book, but it's still going to take me time. Mm-hmm. So I had a little panic moment of that. I was like, okay, I got to read that book. I also needed to edit the podcast to release and needed to get that done, which takes a good 4 to 5 hours.
Minimum. Depending on how off topic we get.
Yeah, and Strictly Ballroom was squirrely. So
what do you mean, us squirrely?
That doesn't even sound like me. That's like so me 2 weeks ago.
Oh, please. For the third of my edits in a row, Wiggles, you have belched directly in my ear. Like, I feel like you made it your mission to belch directly into the microphone.
You're editing this one, aren't you?
Yes, probably.
Consider that a challenge.
Do you need the Diet Coke now?
Yeah, I got a bubbler. I'm fine.
But yeah, so I did the editing, I read the book, and then I did watch Grey's Anatomy, which I have now told you. They referenced our hometown. My hometown, you bitches, are from a different place.
We're from a nowhere land. Don't worry about it.
They referenced my hometown.
We're aliens from outer space.
And didn't do a terrible job of it. So there was that. I did that. And then daylight savings time hit me. And I was going to, I had every intention to read yesterday, the Monday after daylight savings time. No.
Mm-hmm.
I got home and stared at a wall and then went to bed and maybe played a little bit of The Sims.
Mm-hmm. Liz?
Oh, you know, I got things.
Of course you do.
I say that every time, but it's because I got things. So I finished Gentlemen Prefer Villains by C. Rochelle, which is the next book after Not All Himbos Wear Capes. Check out our episode on that one. And this is Wolfie's or Wolfgang's book. It unfortunately did not live up to my expectations.
Oh no, it didn't hit as good as the first one.
No, and I think that's purely because I don't like his love interest. I love Wolfgang. He's got all of that older sibling, the world is on my shoulders, I must protect my family vibe, and I'm like, I get you. But no, Simon, the other person in it, is the love interest, is just, it's a little too extra for me. A little too extra.
How did he introduce his chapters?
It did not go Butch.
God damn it! That's why.
Well, that narrator's not in this one. And also, so I've noticed this with authors who are writing series, but each one is theoretically like a standalone, or at least like each couple's stories.
Yeah.
I understand that there are supposed to be certain plot elements that stretch throughout each book, but each book also needs to feel complete. Mm-hmm. And that didn't kind of happen with some of the open-ended stuff. And I felt a little cheated at the end. Like, we didn't get to figure some things out that we should have.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, that's annoying.
But it was still like a 3.5 because it's still fun and absurd, and that's what these books are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then
there's
always an and then.
Oh, I thought you were like building to something where you were like, and this is the contrast, is that this is the best thing I've ever read.
Oh, no. I read Duology. So the first one is The Discovery Center. And the second one, which I technically have like 30 minutes left to read, is The Center's End by Liz Hambleton. And they are very much like that dystopian sci-fi stuff we read when we were like reading YA, like the Uglies Pretties one and the Divergent series, Hunger Games, all that. It's like the adult version of that, which would have been cool, but like the writing, like the pacing wasn't great. The first book was probably like a 2 to a 2.5. And it really just seemed to exist to set up the second book, because the second book is considerably better. So like the concept is super interesting. It's essentially, the idea is that women are not being born as often, so everyone is like forced into marriages, but they only last 10 years before you can like, you switch to different partners. And like, it's really cool. It's just the writing didn't quite do it.
Mm.
Just like pacing problems and like not building up characters and their relationships enough.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I do know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Wild.
Well, wild times over here.
So I'm going to tell you a little bit about our author, Scarlett St. Clair. Something to look out for in this series, A Touch of Chaos. Book number 7 in the Hades Persephone series is out. Now, I want to be clear, if you didn't already know this, she's been writing dual POV books, but she's been writing them as individual books, right? So the A Touch of Darkness is from Persephone's point of view, and then it's, I believe, a game of fate is A Touch of Darkness, but from Hades' point of view. So when it's the 7th, it's really the 4th. So keep that in mind. She also has a lot of other books. She wasn't originally a romance author. So she has The King of Battle and Blood, When Stars Come Out and Queen of Myth and Monsters and a couple novellas, Mountain Made of Glass and Apples Dipped in Gold. So you can check any of those out. Also on her page, she's got a bit of fun facts about herself. So how did you become decide to become an author? Well, she decided when she was 13, after she read The Lord of the Rings, great taste, that she wanted to write mysteries and fantasy and things like that. So that's one fun fact. Where did you get the inspiration for your Hades and Persephone series? I had two main ideas, I think. I've always wondered what the world would look like if humanity had chosen something like the Iliad was our chosen biblical work and not the Bible, and that it was really the root of New Greece. So yeah, if you want to learn more about her, she's got a pretty thorough website. Check it out. Check out her other books. And yeah, Danny, what's this book about?
Okay, so this book is a reimagined telling of Hades and Persephone's love story. It is modernized, and like Wiggle said, with the, it's like if they had the Greek pantheon had continued to be a more mainstream religion and everything, and in this case the gods are just kind of out there for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
And so Persephone is of course the daughter of Demeter, and she's been hidden away kind of for her entire life. Nobody really knows who she is, and she's been very sequestered in her mother's greenhouse. And she finally gets to, she turns 18, she finally is like, she convinces her mom to let her go live kind of a mortal-ish life on Earth and go to college. She is getting to the point where she's ending her college career. She's in the last like 6th month of her senior year of college. She has an internship, and she wants to be a journalist. And she goes out one night to one of Hades' bars. She's really not supposed to do this. She's supposed to stay away from all the gods. But she doesn't think he's actually going to be there. And he is. And so he kind of tricks her into a deal. And he tells her that she needs to create life in the underworld. And that's, otherwise she has to go and be a resident in the underworld. Discuss.
Well, it's not just that she has to be a resident of the underworld. She has to go to what's sort of described as the torture chamber, if you will, of the underworld, which is Tartarus.
I don't think he says... He does not say that he's going to put her in Tartarus.
He doesn't say it, but that's how his deals work. So that's her perception of things, is that if she fails to do this, that's where she's going. Because that's where everybody else, in her mind, has been going. If they are unsuccessful in the deal. So,
that's what she thinks, but she finds out later that's not how things have gone.
Right, yeah. But that is something to take in consideration to the choices she's making, mm-hmm. is that it's not just threat of, like, oh, I guess I'm going to be trapped in the underworld. Like, that would suck, especially if it wasn't your time. But she is perceived that she's going to go to the worst part of the underworld.
Well, and I think she always just kind of goes to worst case scenario, because like that's how her fucking mother treats her.
Yeah, her mother locked her in a greenhouse for like 20 years. So she definitely doesn't want to be trapped in the underworld, no matter how much she learns about it or how like much it grows on her and the people of the underworld grow on her, because then it's just another prison.
Yeah.
And I do think that that is pretty well in alignment with the Persephone myth, mm-hmm. Is this idea of like she's not against her husband or anything like that, because in the myth, her and Hades are partners. But also, she wants her freedom. She is flighty, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She craves when spring comes, and she's bringer of the spring. But also, going back to her mother... Right away I was like, why have you written Mother Gothel as yes. as her mother? Like, that's not the Demeter character of the myth. So I thought that was a little bit odd.
I will say, okay, so just going purely on Greek mythology, and I understand that the Greek gods are different and weird, and there's a lot of situations like this.
Yes.
They never mention in this book who Persephone's father is.
Mm-hmm.
In the Greek legends, Persephone's father is Zeus,
mm-hmm.
which means Persephone is her own aunt.
That happened a lot, though.
Yeah.
Yes. It just always makes me laugh, because Persephone is her own aunt, because Zeus and Hades are brothers, and she was supposed to marry Poseidon.
I wonder if that comes up in future books, because this did feel very much like it's an incomplete story, which makes sense why she would then go on to write 7 more books about Hades and Persephone, or 6 more. But also, I like this turn of events a lot better than, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, I don't like Neon Gods. It's out there. It's out there for the world to know. In that version, she is supposed, Demeter is trying to marry her off to Zeus, which is like,
yeah, no.
It make sense.
Yeah, no.
It's more complicated than that, because it's more like a title is what they're like, to be the Zeus or to be the Demeter, right? Like, but still. Anyway.
Well, I am correct, right? Persephone is Zeus's daughter, right?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
I don't know.
I would have to.
I'm pretty sure she is.
Yes, Demeter and Zeus.
That's That's part of why it's so offensive to the Pantheon that she gets taken to the underworld to live with Hades, is that she is daughter of two of the high gods or whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a different literature where she is Dionysus's mother through Zeus. So I don't know. But the Hades one specifically, the Hades Persephone story that we're talking about, she is Demeter and Zeus's daughter.
Mm-hmm. There's also another version of Dionysus, though, where he is born of a mortal and Zeus, and is born prematurely. So Zeus sews him into his leg to grow him the rest of the way. So Greek gods, what a time. What a life. What a weird family.
Also, we mean no offense to anybody who does work with the Greek pantheon.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put that out there, because I myself am pagan. I do not work with any of the Greek pantheon. I mostly Norse, but no offense to any of those. Please don't kill me.
I'm glad you said that, though, because
we
certainly are not. We're just going with what we got here.
Yeah.
And what's in the book.
I feel like if Zeus was going to smite me, he's had many times before now.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think I'm on Zeus's radar. It's more his devotees that I'm like, no, please don't hurt me.
Yeah. I don't think he cares. But anyway, getting back to this, it's interesting because Zeus is like the go-to god for so much of the mythos that he's not present in this book pretty much at all.
Yeah. No, they mention him briefly, like at the ball. Because he's there and everything. But other than that, he really isn't mentioned all that much.
No. And it's not just because there aren't other gods in this. We do run into a few other ones, including Hecate. I'm pronouncing that right?
Yep. Hecate.
Yeah. She was a real badass. Liked her.
Uh-huh.
And then
Hermes.
Aphrodite a little bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A teeny, like one scene.
Well, did you... In the ebook version, did you get the extra chapters of the next book, that the one that's from Hades' point of view?
I did. Yes, I didn't read them.
I didn't read it.
Oh, it was audiobook, so it just kept playing, right?
Yeah.
So I listened to it. And you do get more of Aphrodite in that version.
Well, fair enough. As we learn at the end, she actually had a much bigger hand in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, just off the bat, I have not read the Game of Fate, which is Hades' perspective, but throughout the entire book, it definitely felt like we were missing Hades' perspective.
Yeah, I think she could just sandwich those. I haven't read the other one, but having read the first two chapters, I'm like, there's no reason we couldn't have flitted in between back and forth from their perspectives.
It wouldn't have been that much more long. Anyway.
I don't think it would have been that much longer. Like, even if you doubled it, would it be a longer book? But 600 pages ain't that bad.
No.
Well, not when it's this fast.
Yeah.
Right?
I was surprised because I was like, okay, it's like 7:00. I had a headache, so I had stopped editing on a Friday and was like, okay, I'm going to start reading this book. And all of a sudden it was like 10:00 and I was over 200 pages into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm a slow reader.
I think the main reason that it bothered me is it felt like throughout the book that Hades obviously had motivations, but we had no idea what they were.
Mm-hmm.
You could guess what they were. You could infer that Hades was lonely because he was staying down in the Underdark. But there's a lot of things like, why are you choosing
to calling it the Underdark? And it
the Underdark. The Underdark.
Underworld.
The Underworld.
Sorry, I was trying not to lose it, but I'm just like, Really?
No, you got to call me out on it, because otherwise I will spend the entire time being the Underdark, the underworld. Hades is
king of the Mykonoids.
It's just reeling over Mendel Barrett-Zahn. And that is how you pronounce it. I don't give a fuck what you tell me.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right. Okay, Liz. Okay, Liz.
I listened to the audiobook of you first.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay, Liz.
Anybody who says it's Menzo Bratson can just fucking suck a dick. Yeah.
All right, Liz.
No one's fighting you.
This is a fight of your own making, my love.
I'm fighting anybody who's going to come for me in the comments, because nobody goes into our comments. Come find us in the comments. I need attention.
She does. Please help.
Please help.
All right. Mini rant over. Back to the actual book. So Hades in the underworld must be lonely, but there's just a lot of things where I'm like, why is he choosing to stay out of the media? We don't really get an answer. There's a lot of like inferring, but no answers. Mm-hmm. Why is he choosing to hide his like good nature and let everybody think he's this like evil guy? We don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
That is one thing that I do appreciate about, because it could have been very easy to be like, oh yeah, Hades is the dark badass, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. He is portrayed that way in most media. You know, you look at like the Disney movie for Hercules and all of these things. Hades is such an asshole. If you actually read the Greek legends, nah, he's not. He's fair is all I can say. He's stricter with the rules, but I think he kind of has to be at that point.
Well, when you're dealing with people's souls, yeah, you can't be all willy-nilly like Zeus is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's strict over his domain in the Greek stories and everything. Mm-hmm. But I think he has to be, but he's never an asshole.
Well, that's the version we see of him, right? Yeah. He even mentions that he has guilt over how he used to be. And so that's how he's become this version of himself, is that some of that portrayal is true. Mm-hmm. It's just not true anymore.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't hate this version of Hades. I think he acts younger than he would be in the version that she's telling. Like he's centuries old. Yeah. He does not act centuries old.
That's a big thing that I have with any of these books where there is whether it's a vampire or a demon or whatever that is centuries old, and yet they're with this 24-year-old, because Persephone is 24. She says in here she is 20, I think it's 24 or 26. I'm sorry. If you are like 500 years old, what could possibly be interesting about a 24-year-old, especially one who is emotionally and like socially oppressed, stunted,
because she hasn't been allowed to fucking do anything,
including fucking.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah.
No, I agree. Although I do like this book, but yeah, I agree. There's definitely times where I'm like, bud, why?
I think it would have made more sense had she said that if she wanted to stick with this, like Persephone was basically mother gothled. Why not just have her do it for centuries? I mean, granted, Persephone's brain may have been a little bit more fucked up then, but
who's to say a goddess's brain doesn't recover better than
Well, when you're immortal, your concept of time, what does it mean?
Yeah,
I think that's maybe my gripe with this genre in general, is it hyperfixates on when they first met, and that's not really the best part of their relationship in the myth, right? Mm-hmm. It's the desire to get back to one another when they can, because they're separated every 6 months. They're separated. And yes, it's exciting because she gets her freedom back, but it's disappointing because she's now not with her lover, right? And so this is this ongoing cycle of what is the best for the underworld is the worst for the world above, and so on and so forth, right? Yeah. And so I don't know. I would rather read a book, and this is a freebie to the authors out there, I would read the shit out of a book where they've been together for 100 years and they're navigating, she's got to go away again. Mm-hmm. And I can't do this anymore. How do we make that relationship still work? I would read the shit out of that.
There's a creator on TikTok. She's a pagan, and she creates deity candles and everything. And she's like, it's skits of when deities come into her space, and her portrayals of Hades is so fucking funny, because there's ones where she's like, she's working and all of a sudden she looks over and there's Hades and she goes, I don't have a candle for you and I don't work for you. Like, I don't work with you. So what are you doing here? And he goes, I'm just here to make watch you make Persephone's candle. And she's like, stay as long as you want. Or like he's there and everything. And she's like, Hades, what do you want in this candle? He's like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of my wife coming home in 3 days. Or just the depression mm-hmm. of when she's gone. And she's like, Hades, what do you want in your candle? He's such a lonely day. She's like, why do I always get the sad Hades? I get all the comments about how he's got like dad energy and he's real cool and everything. Well, I'm sorry. I thought this was a safe place.
I mean, I do like that idea of being able to, whether it's a serious or like a more lighthearted mm-hmm. story of like, what is Hades like when he's like, I just want my life back.
She actually personally works with Loki and the shit. Always. And at one point because she also makes candles for Christian witches and stuff, and she was like listing off a bunch of candles she was making for one person. She goes, okay, so I need one for, you know, Archangel Michael, I need one for Jesus. And Loki, what did you sneak into this poor person's practice? And Loki just is standing there smiling, and then Jesus pops in. He goes, who do you think snuck him in? I'm like, oh my god. So fucking funny.
I really like the idea of Jesus being a rebellious son of God. That entertains the shit out of me right there.
Or Dionysus being like, hey, have you seen Jesus around? And he's standing there holding a bottle of water. He's like, I want to see if he'll do my favorite trick.
Oh, gosh. She's,
you know, really what I do funny. Like getting back to this story.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that the Greek pantheon, even the quote unquote nice ones, can turn on you in a dime.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That happens all the time in the myth. And I thought they did that really well.
They like, really did.
And I was sort of triggered by you bringing up Dionysus. He's got a whole series of stories where he just loses his shit because people don't consider him to be a god. And they're like, oh, you're only a demigod. And he's like, bitch, I will fuck your shit up. And it's like, okay. So, you know, I did like that they always... including Persephone, which I really, really liked that, because I've read other stories involving her where she's so passive. And it's like, no, this one, she's like just as able to lose her shit because you said the wrong thing.
Oh, yeah. No, when yes. She's finally like freaks the fuck out, I'm like, there she is. Mm-hmm. There she is.
Well, one key thing we haven't said yet is Persephone doesn't have any magic. She doesn't have
that she knows of
powers.
She knows
right. Of. Exactly. Yes. So throughout the entire book up until the end, she's does not have her abilities or any sort of magic. And at the end, she finds out that her mother was keeping it from her and all of that. But even towards the beginning of the book, I usually do not like it when characters just like have snap reactions for no reason, but this one is the one where it made sense, because mm-hmm. that is Persephone. She's way more hot-headed than Hades.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I also like, because technically she does have a power, which is the ability to just kill anything.
That's true.
Yeah, plants specifically. Yeah, yeah, she yeah, can't yeah. just touch a person and kill them.
Yeah, that we know of.
That we know of.
She goes all poison ivy on them, like, bitch. But she, I do really like that the reason she doesn't have her powers isn't just her mom was like blocking her with a spell or some shit like that. Her mom, by preventing her from being known, prevented her from having followers.
Yes.
And
yes.
So she was not able to be worshipped as is needed for these gods to have powers. And so I kind of like that they went almost that American Gods version of thing, mm-hmm. which is almost that you deplete and grow weaker if nobody is no one is worshiping you.
I also really like, though, so it didn't, so in that being the issue with her not having her powers and everything, it's because she didn't have followers and everything. It also doesn't make it so that Hades fixed everything.
Right.
He simply made her known to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And they then made their own opinions and started worshiping her. And that's why she started to gain her powers and everything. And so, like, while, yes, he did kind of put in a fix, it was indirect and not, like, I think he knew what he was doing. But at the same time, it's not a Hades fixed everything.
Well, he knew what he was doing in the sense that he knew that if she is truly the person she presents herself to be, which he knows that she is because he has the power to sense when you're lying or dishonesty. The exacts of that was not very clear, but that her his people were going to worship her as much as they worship him. Mm-hmm. Like they were going to love her because of who she presents herself to be.
And then she it's not even that just she present. Well, yes, it's they worship her initially because she is the goddess of spring and he told them so.
Mm-hmm.
But then she spends time with them.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's her growing her powers because the people like her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not even Hades that tells them. It's Hecate that says, like, that brings her to the people of the underworld, which does make me think if you read his book, there's got to be some conversations between those two where, you know, Hecate's like, I got this. Don't you worry.
I also sort of like the idea that she's undermining him at every chance just because it's fun.
Oh, I mean, I did also get that vibe too.
Oh, yeah.
But she's like,
you gotta keep it spicy if you're gonna live forever. You know what I mean?
I also like that she didn't just solve Persephone's problems. I was expecting that. I was like, oh, you found the goddess of magic. She's going to fix your magic.
Right. She's gonna fairy godmother that shit.
Yeah.
And while she helped, she was mentoring to help her kind of figure out how to use it when she started to gain the abilities. She's not fixing everything. That's on you, boo.
Well, and you know, you always need a spicy lady to come in and kind of tell you how to get your life together.
I love it when she walks in. She's like, Hecate, Hecate. And she like blows out the candle and wah. She's like, fuck, what are you doing? Oh, I was cursing a mortal. Why? He annoyed me.
Hecate has the same energy as the drunk girls you meet in the bathroom who hype you up in your outfit. They're like, your shoes are amazing. Your makeup's awesome. And then you walk out and you're like, I'm ready to hit the dance floor. I am the coolest person in the world. That's her energy.
Absolutely.
But to Wiggle's point, she, while we didn't see it much in this book, she definitely was also not like always good and nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Which it tracks.
Yeah, it tracks.
I don't, if you go about, like, whitewashing is not the right word, but if you go about like turning them into a bunch of nice guys, I cannot get behind that.
Oh, hell no.
That's not who the they are. They're a bunch of temperamental bitches. Please don't smite me. But they are.
They are. They're very temperamental. They're very much turn on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because the Greek, most of the pantheons, except for the Christian one, are supposed to be more human-like, and they just are dialed up to 11 a little bit on times where you're like, you threw a temper tantrum, sir.
Well, even in the Christian one,
yep.
Like a lot of them saints are saints because they got themselves martyred by being too spicy with their Christianity.
It's true.
They were like, no, God is great. And they were like, shut the fuck up. And then just, they're done, you know? So
it was a line that just sticks out to me and it cracks me up because it shows how traditions in this particular world changed is when she falls in the River Styx and Hermes hauls her out and everything and the Hades heals her and everything. And she's like, why are they in there? And he's like, oh, they're there to stop people from, you know, crossing the River Styx. And he goes, she's like, that's their job. And he goes, well, yeah, that's their only job. Well, where did they come from? Oh, well, they're people who died who didn't have coins to put on their eyes. And she's like, you still fucking do that? Well, no, but
they're can't ancient. Leave.
It just cracked me. I love that. She's like, well, no, but they're ancient. Like,
what do you want me to do with them now?
I can't put them somewhere else.
Can't put them back. Like, they're stuck there.
Yeah. Well, okay. So something I want to talk about with regards to Hades and his version of the underworld in this book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is he is notoriously bad about talking about any of it. And not just like, oh, I'm secretive and mysterious, but like doesn't give her warnings, hey, don't walk too close to this thing because you'll get sucked into the River Styx. Like, no warning whatsoever. Oh, don't walk over there because you'll lose your fucking memory. Like, just no warning whatsoever.
I will say, in his defense of the River Styx, he told her to wait in his office. And she went doing shenanigans she shouldn't have.
Yeah, that was a whole thing I had in here. I'm like, who are these bitches? Because it happens in all these goddamn books that are just like, I'm going to wander off and see what happens on my own. I'm like, this is how you die.
Yeah, that's how you
die. If this was a horror movie, that you'd be dead.
It's just they're not lazy enough. Like, I'm not saying that if I was put in a situation where somebody was like, if you go behind that door, there's a bunch of weird shit, but don't go behind the door, that I wouldn't be like a little curious to do a little peeky poo. But also I'm lazy, so I'm not walking in there until I have my guide. Right? You don't go on safari without a guide to scare away the lions, right?
That's not laziness, that's self-preservation.
Right? Well, that's my biggest thing with the River Styx thing, is he told her to wait in his office, that he was going to take her to the underworld. Her hand falls through the wall, is how she discovers the door to the underworld. Cool, fine. Her hand fell through the wall. Might I have stuck my head through? Abso-fucking-lutely, because I want to see.
I would have gone down the stairs, but I wouldn't have kept walking after I saw that. I was like, this is a whole place.
I'm in the underworld, and she has done enough studies. She goes to a university that is all about the Greeks. You know shit. Don't be poking around the underworld.
I'm going to push back against your guys' perspectives of what you would do, and I'm going to hit you with this. If you're playing a video game and you walk into an area you don't recognize, are you telling me you don't walk forward? No, you would walk forward.
Because it's a video game.
I have a save file on that.
Exactly. It's a video game. If my character dies, NBD.
If you got to the bottom of them stairs, don't lie to me and tell me you're walking back up. You are going forward because you're like,
walk back up. I'd sit my ass down. I'd sit my ass on the bottom step and exactly. Wait for Hades.
Exactly.
I'm looking for a rock that's glowing, and that means I need to go poke my head underneath it, right? Like, that's my plan of attack.
Right. In a video game where it doesn't matter if my character dies.
I have a save file. No, but like,
I only have one life. I got one.
Also, like I said, she has studied like the Greek pantheon and everything because she is part of it. So she is aware that there are certain things in the underworld. I am also aware of those things because I may or may not have had a deep and abiding love for Greek mythology growing up. And so I'm aware that there are multiple rivers that do multiple things and, you know, Tartarus. Let's not poke around there.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense. This bitch gets in trouble.
I mean, look, she's definitely got Alice in Wonderland energy, where she's just like, I'm just gonna wander off. Oops, crazy things are happening to me. This is so crazy. How did this happen? It's not because of anything I did. But
the second she started wading into the River Styx, I was like, bitch, no.
Why would you do this?
Why would you ever go into the River Styx?
If for nothing else, you're gonna get all wet. Like, if it's just a normal river, that's not a great plan. So what was the thought process? And we're in her point of view, and I still don't know what it was.
The thought process was literally just, I think I could do that.
She's like, I'm a great swimmer. I'm like, it's the River Styx. No.
But didn't she also say, but she wasn't a great swimmer?
I think she said she is a great swimmer.
Whatever, man.
But still, it's the River Styx. Like, no.
Regardless, it's also just a river.
Right? It's also, in order for you to swim across the river, you got to go against the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to you, ma'am.
Good thing for me. I'm just saying,
when Shadow, Sassy, and the other one,
Chance,
they did not have a good time in that river. And so I've learned you don't go in rivers.
I don't know why I had to bring that back up.
The Incredible Journey. Oh, I fucking love that movie.
Yeah. Just thought I'd bring some depression to your day.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Anyway, but to your point, Hades does just kind of like let her get into trouble.
Yeah.
Like when he gives her the ability to like come back into his nightclub whenever she wants, he doesn't give her any sort of like rules around, hey, here's good times to show up, here's good times not to show up, don't bring other people, etc. And instead he's just like, here, you have the keys, knock yourself out.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know. He acts like everyone should just know what he's thinking, which is a really weird way to go through life when you don't tell anyone what you're thinking.
It's true, although you could make the argument that he has a god complex where he just assumes everybody knows his intentions.
Yep.
Which a lot of the gods in this one do. Demeter does the same thing. You know, Hermes is not that way. Hermes is like, hi, I'm going to have fun, which is extremely Hermes, quite frankly.
Yeah, he definitely showed up and was like, I'm here only for chaos.
I'm here and to you tell you that you're might be my victim, frustrating.
Or you might be the person I saved today. Who is going to know? Okay, bye.
Also, I would like to talk about sex. A lot about sex.
Let's talk about, you know, sex, about sex, baby.
I fucking loved him the second he showed up, and he's like, oh, so you're the source of the sexual frustration for Hermes, or for Hades. And I was like, sir,
you don't have to be so fucking loud.
Again, I feel like there's just a lot of this book we're missing, because mm-hmm. I read that and I'm like, why does Hermes know? Because
Hermes knows all.
Why is Hermes fucking everywhere? Also, why is Hermes just randomly outside the river Styx? Is he following Persephone? What is this bitch doing? I need more details.
Right? Like, I was shocked at how many gods we find in the underworld. Usually they don't want to go there very often.
You could make the argument for Hermes that because she was like hacking around the underworld, he might have been drawn to her a little bit because he is the god of travelers.
Yes, and messengers, isn't yes. that right?
They yeah. said he was the medicine. God of trickery?
Trickery.
Yeah.
Thievery. One He's the them. God of a lot of fucking things.
They all are.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I bring up Dionysus just because I've done the Bacchae recently. Bacchae. And, like, the amount of symbols that represent this one god was insane. It was like a whole like 20 set where there's like, there's pine cones, there's Thyrus, there's the bull, there's grapes, there's the chalice, like all these different symbols for one god. Mm-hmm. I like, I can't imagine actually taking the time to study all of them. That sounds like a lot of work.
I don't understand pine cones for Dionysus. How does that work?
The Thyrus is like a long stick, like a cane. Only it has a pine cone on top. Don't ask me why. Ask the Greeks.
Okay.
Okay.
The one that cracked me up is, again, so that girl that I watch on TikTok that she, you know, makes deity candles and everything. Mm-hmm. She also works with Aries, and she did a skit where she was talking to him one time, and he goes, you know, people always talk about the fact that I am a god of war, but never that I am a god of a dance. And she goes, you know, and that is a travesty, because he's apparently also the god of dance.
He is?
Apparently. I didn't know that before she said it. I was like, oh, okay. Good to know.
All right.
Yep. Yep.
The more you know.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. Like, the more you know, the more you're like, I'm more curious but overwhelmed. But also more curious but overwhelmed.
Well, you always hear that Athena is the god of wisdom, but she's also the goddess of battle.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're like, all right.
Whatever you say.
Everyone's just gotten just a toe in every corner here.
Yeah. I think that, again, getting back to this book, because we kind of keep deviating, and I feel like I'm responsible for that. But I do think in context of not everybody is going to know anything about the Greek pantheon, I think she did a really good job of giving you, like, the briefest overview of who these characters mm-hmm. are. Enough that, like, even if you haven't seen anything other than Hercules, the Disney movie, you're mm-hmm. gonna be like, okay, I kind of get what's happening, right? Yeah.
She does explain it, because, like, she points out that Hades is the god of all the riches under the earth as well, so that's why there's all the gold fucking everywhere and stuff, because he gets all the medals. And she does that with a lot of the gods. She kind of semi mentions it just kind of to give the background so people understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only time I didn't like that, though, was the ball scene. Mm-hmm. And we just spent like 3 pages as the gods were walking into the ball. And I'm like, I don't care what Poseidon looks like. He's not a part of this story.
I kind of not did. Yet. I was like, ooh, Poseidon, tell me.
I mean, yeah,
he's
sure.
He's one of the big three. So.
He's one of the big three.
I get it. I'm sure he'll come up eventually. But for this book alone.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
But also, again, if you're not familiar with the Greek pantheon, establishing that he exists is probably a good thing to do in book one.
It's true,
I suppose, but I don't know. I guess it's hard for me to imagine people that aren't familiar with at least Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, and that's just purely a fault of mine, because I'm sure there are plenty of people that aren't.
Yeah,
there are a lot of people who never read, and I like.
We had to learn it in school.
We did.
Not everyone did.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't think I actually learned a lot about it in school. I think I found, it was the Scholastic Book Fair.
What a time to be alive.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
We didn't have a fair. We got the pamphlet, and you would look through that like it was like gold. You were like, I will have this book and this book and this book and this book. And your mom would be like, you get one. Or maybe no, that was just my experience.
The library sometimes had the book fairs. I remember going to the library in our hometown.
Yeah, because we also had the pamphlet, but once every like maybe quarter when I was in elementary school, they also brought it to there.
Because that's where you got cool pencils too.
Yes.
I have no memory of this place.
But there was a book on Greek mythology for kids, clearly, that I was like, ooh, that sounds fun, because my brother had told me a story about Hades or something, and I was like, now I need to know everything, because apparently that's where my little brain goes, has to attach to. But so I do like the distinction that for some reason all of the gods had very distinct horns, and that was something that I like. It's really random, but it was kind of an interesting aspect of it as being very identifying, as they can't hide from each other because horns.
Yeah, that's got to come from something somewhere, right?
You would think, but all I could picture in my head was a bunch of tieflings walking around.
True.
Okay, are we ready for a hard left?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about sex, baby. when this book decided to get spicy, it was like, what if like every chapter is spicy from now on? And I was like, okay. No objections here. So what did you guys think about the spice?
I felt like it could have gone a little harder.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that category of like, it seemed very vanilla. It was always very vanilla.
It felt like it kept repeating the same, it felt like putting in a cheat code for Persephone's like horniness is what he kept doing. Cause he kept being like, okay, so we're gonna move the hand downstairs and then I'm gonna have a snack and then we're gonna fuck. And that was happening every time.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was like up, up, down, right, left, right, left.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say that it wasn't well-written spice. Yeah. It was pretty, the whole book actually was fairly well-written. I was like, it's Hades though. Like we couldn't have gone a little harder.
Well, I didn't even mind that it didn't like get into like either some rougher or play or whatever. But yeah, it just felt very, and now we do this, and now we do this, and then we go do this, and then we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted more variety.
Yeah. I mean, he had an office, for fuck's sake.
They also had the curse of, in this storytelling, of they always manage to finish practically at the exact same time. And I'm like, I mean, maybe they're magical gods, right? But also, interesting. I will say the dirty talk.
Oh yeah,
I was way into, because it was dirty in the sense of like the implication was there, but it was not like crude most of the time. There was a lot of like, I will worship you, like that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I really liked the line that Persephone has, where he's like, I will command you to, he says something along the lines of, I will command you to worship me, and she's like, you will worship me, and I won't even have to ask. Yeah, and I was like, oh. Girl, I like that one.
Wasn't there also a line where he was like going downtown, and she was like, I thought you said you were never going to kneel before anyone? Or was it the other way around? I don't know. One of them kneeled, and it was like a callback to a previous statement. I did appreciate a lot of the like build up. Like
they had a lot of eye fucky.
Yeah. Or like when he would just like give his favor to her kissing her. Like, I don't think you have to do that, but
nope. I don't think he did either.
He bestowed the first one by kissing her on the forehead. Pretty sure he didn't have to tongue fuck her to give her the next one.
I don't think so. I didn't think it worked on a graduating scale.
Nope.
I did appreciate that scene though, when he kissed her forehead and she just like grabbed him and held on to him, and then touched the flower on his lapel and killed it.
Was like, there was something so hot about when she was like, I think you're gonna regret this, Lord Hades, and then touched the flower, and I'm like, girl, you.
That does get called back later on too, when he's like, so you're gonna write this shitty fucking article about me? And she's like, I told you you'd regret it. Yeah.
To be fair,
I've been completely honest.
I will say, though, for somebody who is been locked away for 20 years, granted, she's been out for a couple of years now because she's a senior in college. She's got a lot more chutzpah than I ever had at that age. And I wasn't locked away for most of my life.
Yeah. Right. But I do think that that once again makes sense with her character because she is a god. Right. And so as soon as she taps into that, whatever it is that makes them powerful is part of what makes them, like, he keeps pushing for it. Like, it's not about followers. It's about confidence. Right. Mm-hmm. Once you had that, that's when you were able to get your powers because, you know, they have their three fourths of the way through the book breakup. Like, you got to have. Right.
Well, as you do.
Like you do. So it didn't bother me that she had this chutzpah. Like, it did feel like it was sort of surprising and coming out of nowhere, but I think that's also part of what Hades liked about her, where he was like, wait, hold up, woman. Whoa. But say that again.
I guess I get it in the sense that other than her mother, she hasn't been living in the society where you're supposed to fear Hades. Mm-hmm. And she very clearly views all of her mother's rules as like, this is just some bullshit mom says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I could see her being like, I'm not scared of you, bitch.
Right.
There's a moment where like it killed me. My heart wept for her a little bit. Because so like her mom just randomly shows up in her fucking apartment. I am so glad my mother doesn't have the ability to do that. My mom doesn't act like this, but I still just don't need people materializing in my place. But so she is getting ready to go to like her first day of her new internship. She's really excited. She's like taking extra special care to make herself feel like herself and everything. And then her mom shows up and she's like, oh, honey. And like, redoes her whole glamour so that her hair is straight. She has no freckles. She like basically takes everything that is really iconic about the way Persephone looks and how she feels about herself and like makes her look like she's a mini Demeter. And I was like, oh, honey, my heart just wept for you a little bit. Like, she literally just changed everything.
Mm-hmm. She pointed to all of me.
Yeah.
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 I'm like, oh, Demeter's kind of a cunt. No offense, please don't kill me.
Well, like I said, I don't feel like that's a fair representation of Demeter based on the myth. Like it,
no.
And I, like I said, this is not the first or even just the second book that I've read that portrays her as this like overbearing, bitchy mother. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Like she's supposed to sort of be the inspiration for Mother Earth in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, her wrath is awful, but she's also the goddess of bringing bounty and agriculture to people, right? Okay. It's an interesting choice. I guess you have to have a reason for Persephone to be as innocent to the ways of the world that she is, but does she have to be that innocent to the ways of the world is the question I have.
Yeah,
that's the question. Like, I get that it fits the norm of a lot of storytelling nowadays where there is, you know, one technically new adult-esque, usually female main character who is like learning about the world, and it's a good way to tell the audience about the world. It's a tool to be able to learn the world with the main character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I like that version of her.
Mm-hmm. I think the reason that it doesn't feel right is because a lot of what is left of Greek myths that has survived to today is already in the middle, right?
Yeah.
It's already Zeus has been like the king of the gods forever. It's already that Medusa has been made into this woman who can turn people into stone. Like, that's already established when we meet these newer characters that are dealing with either the consequences of the gods or are a newer god like Dionysus. And so it feels a little bit weird to have a character not be aware of their surroundings the way that all of those characters are.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, though.
Okay, so getting back to the book, because you had mentioned her first day at work. Mm-hmm. And so let's maybe talk about work and her friends a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because she goes to work and ends up having this entire storyline where she's at the New Athens News. Is it New Athens?
I think so, yeah.
And she runs into Adonis. who ends up being this asshole character.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand. My random question here is, I don't understand why she took him to Hades nightclub to go do an interview of Hades. Like, why is she bringing this random mortal along? It's like she's inviting somebody to find out that she's a god or that she has a relationship with gods.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. I think her, like, the idea behind it is supposed to be because she met him there. She met him at Hades nightclub the night before and everything. She met Adonis there.
Yeah.
And then they end up working together and she's trying to be friends with him and everything. And he seems interested in her topic, as we find out later on. It's because he's an asshole. But so I think her thought process is, okay, well, but then I can bring a coworker with me to help me with things. I don't know why she would need assistance in this, but you know.
I don't know. For somebody who's trying to keep her god status under wraps, she does a lot of things that seem contradictory to that.
Yeah, it's definitely. I was like, why would you? Because I thought the same thing when she brought him there. I was like, why would you bring him, though, if you're going to.
The motivation that I ran with, and it's not very well established, it might even be a headcanon, but was that she wanted a buffer. The first interaction she has with Hades is very sexually charged for a first meeting with a stranger.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to be staying away from him. Like, that's one of her mother's rules, is don't fuck with Hades. Don't mm-hmm. fuck with Hades and don't fuck with Hades.
Yeah.
Right? And so she doesn't want to fall into another trap where she's making another deal or playing another game with him, and hopefully if another person is there as a buffer, she'll be a little bit more discerning because she doesn't trust herself,
which I get. But at the same time, she's also going there to confront him because she has discovered the mark on her wrist.
She does that independent of with being with Adonis, because that's when she has that whole
She has the interlude where he gives her his favor to get back into
So, like I said, I don't think it was very well established, but if I was to presume a motivation for her, that would be it.
I think that's my biggest fault with this book. The writing style seems to me very, like, young, like written for a younger audience,
mm-hmm.
and which is fine, but it really seems to be lacking internal thought. So I don't feel like I get a lot of motivation.
I definitely think that I found this book when I was close to Persephone's age, I would have been obsessed with it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Sure. You know, like, and that's not a critique on the book necessarily. It's just like when something is written for a different age group and you're not really a part of that age group, you're just not going to have the same reaction to it. Right.
Absolutely.
That's part of why I'm not a huge fan of reading YA anymore, even though some of them are written to be these beautiful stories. Mm-hmm. Right. I just sort of am like, it's harder for me to relate. I have to put more effort into understanding the mentality of a character at that age.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm like, can we write some more romances of the girl who's over 30? Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's a conversation for a different day.
Especially these either monster romances or fantasy romances. Everything seems to be centered around at least the female main character being early 20s-ish. And I'm like, where is my monster romance with a bitch who's 35?
Yeah. Especially if the monster is like immortal.
Right.
Uh-huh. And been around the block a few centuries. Like,
which is often the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know about you. I don't want to spend a time with a 24-year-old now when I'm 36.
Right. I'm only 10 years removed from that age. I can't imagine being like 200 years removed from that age.
I think, though, the reason for that is at 24, you're old enough to make better decisions than, say, 18 to 21. But you still haven't gotten that frontal lobe. Set up, right? So you're still making reckless choices, which are often
the catalyst,
the crutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that a lot of romance authors rely on because
again, a 35-year-old is not going to just walk into the underworld.
No.
But a 24-year-old might.
Yeah. 35-year-old's going to get pissed that they somehow magically ended up in the underworld and is like, excuse the fuck out of me, sir, but you better come down and fix this. I got things to do.
Which honestly would have worked more for me in this story,
because
then Persephone's anger would have been like justified. She's like, I got shit to do. I don't need to be here.
I would have,
I have a paper loved to write.
A 30-year-old Persephone going, yeah. listen.
I got shit.
Motherfucker. Do you think that I got time for your shit? Get out of my way. I'm on my way to being a career lady, bitch. Also, it would make her not having worship and followers and all that mean more. Mm-hmm. Because as a child god, you're not, you shouldn't have that many followers. It wouldn't. It's not going to be great for your development, right? So in some ways, Demeter was doing right by her kid, you know?
Yeah, you know.
But if you're 30, 35 years old and you've been denied access to this intrinsic part of who you are, that's going to have a much bigger impact.
True. I will say to flip-flop on that with the Demeter did right by her kid, yes and no.
Yeah.
Because she absolutely didn't need the, like, ego thing of, oh my god, people worship me as a kid. But at the same time, she also didn't explain mm-hmm. that she wasn't going to be getting her powers because she didn't have followers and everything yet. And basically made it Persephone's fault that she didn't manifest these powers, even though Demeter knew exactly why she didn't.
Oh, yeah. Demeter is definitely the bad guy because she just wants to, like, yeah. put Persephone in her glass box and just be like, look, it's my pretty daughter.
Again, I go back to Mother Gothel being the,
yeah.
the yeah.
basis for this character, because I would go so far as to say that Mother Gothel does, in fact, love Rapunzel, but she loves the control she has over her way more.
Yeah.
Right? So that's always going to trump everything. And that's pretty much Demeter in a nutshell in this book.
Yeah. By the way, the descriptions of the gardens in this book, I was just like, hi, can I go to there? I want to go sit and read in the gardens.
I do kind of like that Persephone's creations are
a little monstrous.
Yes. It sort of felt like Isabella in Encanto when yeah. she's like, oh, wait, I don't have to just make pretty flowers. I can make cactuses. Bet. I really liked that. Also, if I read the next book.
I'm thinking about it.
And her powers of getting these tentacles or vines, if you will, does not come into play a little bit more than it did at the end of this book, I'm going to be a little pissed off.
Yeah, it only came in a little bit when she was like wrapping Hades up. And I'm like, this could be more. This should be more.
Way more. Should be. She should. I want to see her like have one grow in his office and just like smack him across the head. Like, I don't, it's not even just sexual.
Just pay attention to me.
Yeah. Just. And he's like, could you stop?
That would totally be if I had the powers and everything, you know, and I wanted attention from my apartment. That would totally be me. I would do that at the D&D table.
Like, we just talk like shit about the gods, yeah. but I would be just touch. As petty, if not worse.
Oh, I would definitely be petty. If somebody gave me, like, massive powers, it would be bad.
It would not be good for so many things. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Most of it would also just be mischief. I'm like, yes. Let's cause trouble today.
Yes.
Oh, God. Us at our group festivals. That's chaos.
That's just an opportunity to wreak havoc on specifically my friends' lives, and that's the best kind.
Oh yeah. Also the opportunity to keep people out of the room when you're trying to take a nap.
There's so many uses, you yes. know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even need all of the other powers. Just having vines that I can grow at will, that alone, that power could be chaos all on its own, and I would find a way to make it chaos.
I could use them to clean my apartment.
I was gonna say, I'd just be really lazy. I'd be mm-hmm. like, oh, I do want another Diet Coke from the fridge. Vines, give me my Diet Cokes.
Yeah. Eventually the vines go on strike. They're like, we can't work for these slave wages.
I love that she gets revenge on his assistant.
Minth, is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Hades has this assistant, Minth the Nymph, which, again, I also really don't understand why he keeps her around. I'm sure that would make sense in his book, in his perspective of the story, because she's very handsy.
Mm-hmm. And she's a cunt.
And she's always up in Hades' business, which, like, yeah, she's his assistant, but...
Yeah, but the amount of times she walks in specifically when they are about to bounce chicken wow wow, like, he has to be getting mad.
In the bath, I was like, bitch, if you do not get out of this scene.
Right. I know. Yeah, when like, she walked in, I was like, you bitch.
We were so close. How dare you?
We are in steaming water.
Don't you know this is what's supposed to happen in these scenes? This is when the magic is supposed to start.
Yeah.
And her revenge on her.
It was a bit of aggressive, I gotta say, though. But I also in alignment with the gods. Yeah. So, yeah, I like the idea that she just gets to be a plant until finally Persephone's like, I'm so bored with this, and turns her back into a nymph.
I love that he's like, so are you going to turn her back? I'm still annoyed with her. And the way she tells him, because she didn't even specifically tell him what she did until he presses. But she's like, oh, technically I'm returning something that's already yours. And he's like, what is that? And she's like, oh, well, it's mint. And he goes, my assistant is a mint plant. She's like, yeah, well, she annoyed me, so I turned her into a plant.
Don't worry about it.
Well, not even specifically annoyed her. Mint called her like powerless and weak. And she was like, nay, nay, bitch.
She's like, if you had said that 2 weeks ago, we would be having a different conversation. But unfortunately for fucking you, wrong.
She definitely did deserve it because she did some pretty shitty things to Persephone.
She did. Did she do shitty enough things that she's not allowed to have a conscience? I don't know. Or consciousness, I should say. I don't know.
Well, what if she does have a consciousness? What if she just worse. Like... It's like in Buffy when Amy's mom gets put into the trophy and she just like is in the trophy cabinet.
I had forgotten about that. So thank you for triggering that in my mind.
But she did try to send Persephone to Tartarus.
Yeah. You know, listen.
And almost got her killed.
Persephone is not known for being merciful.
No.
Well, she's also the one that leaked the pictures to Adonis.
She did. Yeah. She did quite a few shitty things. I just don't know that it's enough shitty things to no longer be able to control your essence.
To be fair, the fact that she's not dead is really...
See, that would be less cruel, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably.
Persephone is not known for being...
Merciful.
Merciful. I will say that was also a big, the pictures thing is a big betrayal for Hades because he specifically does not allow pictures to be taken of himself.
And then Minth, we find out later, leaked sexy time pictures between Hades and Persephone to Adonis.
Yeah.
Wasn't it also one of those times that they were in their true forms?
They were. Yeah, they were in their true forms, so and they were in even Hades' worse. Castle. They were in Hades' palace.
Yeah.
Well, and at the time that they leaked the sexy pictures, the time that the pictures were taken, they were in Hades' home. They were in his palace, so they should have had an expectation of privacy.
Well, especially from his, like, closest assistant, but, like, theoretically, like, that's supposed to be somebody who is, like, allies may be a strong word, but...
But she has access to him at a lot of points, so yeah. he obviously trusts her enough. So the fact that she majorly betrayed him in this point, it's not even just to piss off Persephone at that point. Like, you betrayed your own boss.
Well, also, I don't know that Hades' punishment for her would have been much better.
No.
Because we know that he punishes his doorman who doesn't let her in. We don't ever see him again.
Right.
We know he's been punished. What happened to him? No one knows. And that's almost more scary.
I do love specifically that he is not punished because he laid hands on a god. He is punished because he laid hands on a woman. He didn't know she was... He figured it out really quickly, but at the first initial, like, boom, he's there. He didn't know she was a goddess. That was, you laid hands on a woman.
Yeah. Of course, if it's a human, in my opinion, because they can't really fight back that shit. It's just like, oh, this sucks for me. I'm about to die.
Because it made me feel that he would have had the same reaction, whether it was a goddess or not. That ogre laid hands on a woman.
Right.
Well, that's kind of the first little tiny nugget we get that Hades might not be the evil bad guy, shadow daddy that we anticipated.
I am going to call him shadow daddy from now on.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think Persephone would like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I will not be calling your husband shadow daddy. Thank you. It's these two. It's not me.
I don't work in the Greek pantheon. It's not that I don't believe in it. I just don't work with anyone in it.
I mean, if y'all want to come, let me know you're real.
That'd be sweet. That'd be kind of cool. Don't do it by smiting me, yes. Almighty Smiter. So I want to talk a little bit about the other characters, the mortal characters, and how much they didn't matter to me. I just didn't care. I was like, let's just get back to Hades and Persephone. Because, like, so her friend Lexa, I was like, what is your personality? You feel very much like a blank sheet of paper character where somebody could throw paint on you and you would be that color. You didn't have anything of your own to provide.
Yeah, and she was kind of always, and this is an irritant for me in romance books, she was always kind of just on to the next guy, and that was the only thing important. At first it was Adonis, and then he turned out to be a date-raping asshole. He didn't actually get that, but he tried.
He was trying.
He was trying real hard. And then she met Jason, which ended up being a really good guy for her and everything. Great, but like she was just then fucking gone and kind of abandoned Persephone in really her kind of time of need when she found out that she needed her too. She was just always kind of with Jason then.
She always just seemed like right off of the page to me, because Jason, they used Jason to help get the pictures off of like Adonis's phones or whatever. And it just kind of felt like Lexa existed, but just like never actually on the page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's always just mentioned. And even when she was there, she was super one note. And there could have been a lot of really cool scenes between her and Persephone, especially when she found out Persephone was a goddess. And yeah. There's like one paragraph of her being like, I'm upset, but okay.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and might I add, Persephone is not that great a friend either, because how many times did Lexa just get ditched somewhere? The one that really pissed me off is Persephone realized that she herself got drugged, and Lexa and her drank the same thing. So did you just leave Lexa drugged in that fucking...
Well, so she was...
Oh, wait. I take that whole thing back. Hades made sure she got home. I remember him yeah. making Which, sure.
Okay, I do have a little bit of a thing about that. Because let's say that happened to like two of us at a club. And I'm sorry. I don't care who the fuck comes up and it's just like, don't worry, I'll take care of her. I'm like, yeah, like now, like together we're going now.
Yeah.
I'm not leaving.
I would not be separated from you. If we both ended up drugged, you and I would be like clutching onto each other's arms.
And they got separated because mm-hmm. they were drugged. Yeah. Right. So they got separated. But as soon as she realized it, I wouldn't be listening to Hades and just go, okay, you can take care of it now.
The one thing I will say in her defense to that is she passes out very quickly after, so she's not yeah. really conscious enough to like fight him. And so if you have one person who's completely sober and one person who is like literally can barely hold on to their wits, if he says we're going and is physically pulling her, there's nothing she can do. And that's the reason them being drugged is so scary. Mm-hmm. right? Is that there's nothing she can do to defend herself.
I guess that would be acceptable, like what you're talking about, except like they never have a there's never a scene then with Persephone and Lexa afterwards.
See, yeah. And that's the reason I have an issue with it from a writing standpoint. It's like, how is your first instinct when you wake up not, where the fuck is my friend?
Yeah.
You that know? Would have been my instinct.
Right? I don't give a fuck if literally it's Channing Tatum standing above me. I'm going to be like, my friend, who are you? But like, and how'd you get here? But like, my friend, where is she? Where is she? Right? Like, yeah. that's non-negotiable.
Especially because she wakes up in Hades' bed, and there's just Hades sitting in a chair staring at her all creepy like, which he does several times. And I'm sorry, yeah. That is not sexy.
No.
It is not sexy.
It kind of creeped me out every time. I'm like, why the stare though? Why not cuddle?
Yeah, the next morning should have been
naked.
Like,
yeah, and he doesn't want her to think they did anything inappropriate.
Well, and see, and I was fine with it that one time.
Yeah,
because she was intoxicated and drugged, and she demanded to be naked. Apparently, because that's what he told her. Why am I naked? Because you demanded it.
I believe that.
I believe that 100%. And so, like, yeah. That I get why he's being respectful and not being in it. But every other time, why? You go do something else then, bud. Like, whatever. But back to my, she ditches Lexa. She also did the first night at the bar, and she also does at the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she does do that a lot, which is pretty common in these like romance books where there's a best friend and the best friend just gets left a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you at least have cell phones.
Yeah.
You have cell phones? Just pull your cell phone out and be like, sup, hey, bitch.
FYI, I met this guy. I gotta go.
Well, and I realized like at the ball, Hades just like teleported them away. Fine. Not her fault. But again, you have a cell phone.
But again, you also have the ability to go, Hades, stop it. I can't just leave my friend here. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I get it. You're trying to be cute and teleporting and do what we'll make out in a second. I just need to call her.
I need to make sure she's okay and that she's going to be fine.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of showing that she has priorities that are other than her own, mm-hmm. which, again, you could make the argument is indicative of her being a god. Yeah. It does fall in alignment with what we see from the other gods, where it's just like, whatever suits my needs and wants in the moment is the thing.
But, and that's fine, except for the fact that her whole shtick is that she's supposed to be better than the other gods.
Or at the very least in this, she isn't a god, right? Like, I mean, she is a god, but she had no god lifestyle, no worshipers, no magic, no anything. Mm-hmm. So it's like
nature versus nurture argument, I guess.
I don't know.
I agree. I think if I was Lexa, I'd be like, peace. I'm out of this crazy shit. But Lexa seems to live for being in and around this god's shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely see Lexa being like, wait a minute. My best friend's a goddess.
This is working out me. So well for me. Yeah. So I don't know. Very, and like, just very milk toast.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just like, ugh, it's fine. I don't hate any of the like morals that she added, but they felt like mannequins. They were just there to show what Persephone could be.
Yeah.
Well, even Adonis, who is the one mortal that has like an actual plot line.
Mm-hmm.
He also don't understand some of his motivations other than maybe just Aphrodite told him to.
Yeah.
That's kind of just how I justified some of the things he did. Like, why did he release the article that Persephone wrote about Hades that she had already told him, this is not ready, we are not there yet? And then so he releases the article.
And added to it.
But did it under Persephone's name? So it's not like he's getting any sort of credit here.
Yeah, I didn't understand the motivation behind it. It's very possible that it's just Aphrodite told him to. And please don't strike me down. Aphrodite, be a bitch.
Well,
like, she is not someone you want to get angry.
It feels like another part where we're going to understand more if we read from Hades' perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is annoying because I'm reading this book. I want to have the information that is necessary for me to understand the motivations of the characters in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Adonis then, out of nowhere, after Persephone basically calls him out for this article, he drugs her in Aphrodite's club, mm-hmm. and tries to make out with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Persephone tells their boss and he gets fired because obviously you would.
And she doesn't actually like go immediately and tell the boss. It's that she's having an argument with him at work and Dimitri overhears it.
Right.
And is like, Adonis, see you in my office for a minute. And I was like, fuck yeah, Dimitri.
Right.
There was no questions even asked. He's like, you're fucking gone, dude.
Yeah. Which should be the appropriate reaction and common reaction, but you know.
But you know.
You know.
That was, and it was one of my favorite lines where he's like, you told on me. And Dimitri's like, you just told on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yes, oh, Dimitri.
Well, and then Adonis threatens her with these pictures we were talking about, mm-hmm. if she doesn't get his job back. And Dimitri, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is she goes and talks to him like, is there any way Adonis can get his job back? And he's like, no. He can't have his job back.
I will not have him preying on my people. I was right. Like, you are fabulous. You are the boss all of us want.
Well, and I also like that he doesn't just go, okay, that was weird, and moves on. He's like, are you okay?
Right.
Because that's, why are you asking for this? Because you shouldn't mm-hmm. want this, right? Is everything okay?
Is there anything you want to tell me?
Right. Yeah.
And I do like that he also, so after he fires Adonis instantly, he pulls her back into the office and he's like, here's the thing, kid, you need to talk to me about this next time.
Right.
Because this is not okay. He's like, not even the drugging situation aside, the fact that he stole your article is not okay. And that would have been a fireable offense before the drugging situation happened.
And then he gives her the opportunity to stop writing about Hades. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because before he knew that, he requests her to write this like article once a month, doing this tell all about Hades. And then he's like, you don't have to do this anymore. Like, I understand the situation. We don't have to do this.
I will say I understand Persephone's perspective on that. Sometimes things are made abundantly worse
mm-hmm.
by
yes.
involving other people.
Yep.
You know, I totally get it. But I also love that Dimitri's like, nah.
Yeah, I do appreciate it. I also understand why she wouldn't have to. Like, he had yeah. to prove himself first.
Yeah.
You know?
I just feel like all the times we saw of Dimitri prior to that, I feel like he had proven himself. Everything about his conversations with her had always been about, this is how in what ways do you want your career to go? How can I help you get there? It was always very encouraging and all about getting her to where she wants to be.
Yeah, but you know, you never really know how somebody's going to act under fire.
It's yep. true.
Big yep.
I do wish, going back to what we were talking about, the mortals, I just wish there was more scenes with all of them.
Yeah.
And I also wish there was more scenes with her, with the souls in the underworld.
They're so cute.
Because we got a couple, and then we got a lot of like her saying, oh, I have visited them and these are the things that had happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you gotta show me. Don't tell me. Show me.
That said, the aesthetics of this book are I would be a dream design for me. I would have the best time designing set, costumes, any of it, any visuals. I would be like, yes, please. Like the way she was describing the cat crown that he gives her and how Hades then had a mask made to match and how it all sort of like blended in with one another for the ball, whatever.
I think that. Hecate made that mask.
Hecate made the mask so that she would be hidden from Demeter.
Right. Like, or the description of what Persephone's forest, jungle, plant life, whatever you want to call it, in the underworld looks like. I was just like, oh, God, you could do so much with this. So yeah. They were giving the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned the ball, or at least the mask. So let's talk about the ball for a second. They apparently have this yearly ball where the gods all show up and the proceeds are supposed to go to whatever host god's charity is. And this year, because why wouldn't it be Hades' turn? Because that's how books go.
Uh-huh.
It's Hades' turn to be the host. And Persephone had done a number of things to challenge him on the fact that if he's really trying to help these souls with these deals, right? Like addiction, for example. If he is really trying to say, no, I'm making these deals with these people to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her challenging him was to say, then you need to actually give them the tools to help themselves. Mm-hmm. And so he donates to this charity he created.
Yeah.
That is supposed to help people seek treatment and all that, which was very cool. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. The ball, though, I was like, I'm still confused. Why does this ball exist? What is it supposed to do?
It sounds like rich people shit.
It yeah. does.
You know, like, we're going to have a gala so that we can all dress up in costumes and give away a minuscule amount of our amazing wealth. Aren't we amazing?
Right.
However, if you're rich and you want to throw some money my way, I wouldn't object.
Yeah, no.
You can also make the argument that it's PR for the gods.
Yeah.
It gets them in the public eye for a night because they're not seen all of the time. Like, they do own a bunch of companies and everything, but most of the time the gods are not actually at these restaurants and everything. Like, she had no inclination that Hades would actually be at his nightclub when she went.
Because why would he?
Because why would he?
Mm. Yeah.
Same thing with Aphrodite's club. Nobody thought she would actually be there.
And so my big question, and I get why Demeter doesn't recognize Persephone at the ball. She has a very specific mask made by the goddess of magic to hide her from her mother.
Mm-hmm.
But up until that point, how hasn't Demeter noticed shit? Because it is very clear that Persephone's name is on an article about Hades.
Yeah.
And
that was my biggest gripe with the whole thing, is because also she supposedly is being watched by nymphs all the time, and her mother's been tracking her phone and everything. And like, yeah, at one point she finds out that she's been going to Hades Club, but like, she still continues to go, and she nothing goes to, happens.
She goes to the damn underworld.
Yeah.
There has to be either something in Hades' version where he is blocking Persephone from being viewed, or someone else is running interference, because also she is specifically trying to prevent this outcome. Demeter says outright that she was told the future of her child was to be fated to be wed to Hades, mm-hmm. and that she was going to be the queen of darkness. And she was like, not my kid. So she, part of the reason she's been hidden away all this time and has been told, no matter what, don't go near Hades, he's evil, mm-hmm. is to prevent this very outcome. So there has to be something more to it that isn't included in this book, which isn't forgiving this book for not having it, but it better be in the Hades version, because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
Like, I can understand that maybe Demeter wouldn't be able to track her to the underworld specifically, because that is Hades' domain.
Right, but wouldn't you notice when her phone went out of signal?
Exactly.
Right.
Like, she, but and every time, except for when Hades evaporates with her at the ball, every other time that she goes to the underworld, she specifically goes to Hades Club. You're telling me that not one of the nymphs that has been following her, and, you know, the fact that she's been tracking the GPS on her phone, that she only realized one time.
Well, didn't Persephone say that she got rid of her phone? No, she didn't. She knew her mom was tracking her phone. And she was surprised because it's a phone that she had bought and purchased and was completely separate from her mother. Mm-hmm. But then she didn't get rid of it, right?
She didn't get rid of it. But I mean, I can understand why she wouldn't, because like, what the fuck is she going to do? Her mom's literally a goddess.
Yeah, she'll just do it to the next phone she buys.
She'll do it to the next phone.
So I'm also very confused if Aphrodite's entire goal in all of this is to get her former lover pulled out from the underworld by Hades because of the deal that they have made, or the bet that they have made. Then why would she not go, hey, Demeter, so I've been seeing your daughter walking around playing a little fast and loose with Hades over there. Even if she wasn't like, had no idea of this, like, I don't know, vision that the oracles have had of what the fate is of Hades and Persephone, even if Aphrodite is completely ignorant to that, which she would have to be, because otherwise this gambit makes no sense, she would still probably know that it would not be in the best interest of Demeter to have Hades and Persephone end up together. Mm-hmm. And you can make the assumption that she's going to go overboard on the smothering, if you will, to stop that. I don't know why Aphrodite's sending her goon of a chosen to do all this work when she could just go up to her fellow god and be like, hey, so by the way, not making sense.
When does Aphrodite realize that Persephone is a goddess? Is it right away?
I think very early on,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that don't make sense.
Math ain't mathin' is all I'm saying.
Well, and I'm also to do the juxtaposition, why didn't she, if she so badly wants her lover back and everything, she's immortal, she can wait. If she thinks that, you know, this is going the way where Hades is going to fall in love with her and blah, 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 and she's going to be the, you know, the queen of the underworld, why not befriend her?
Yeah, that's the other option.
Because, just saying, Persephone could probably talk Hades into a lot of shit.
The other thing I don't understand is, If some of the gods can go down to the underworld, and maybe you're right, maybe Hermes just does it because he's like, I go where I want, I do what I want. And Hecate is
lives there,
not an Olympian. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Aphrodite's not going to go down to the other world, but underworld. My first thought was like, bitch, why don't you just go down and see him? It's very clear that there are just people everywhere.
Unless, I think it's a territory thing.
Yeah.
I think I think part of the reason Persephone has to be given special favor.
Has to be given the favor to get right? enter.
She would probably need that as well if she was a human to be able to get back out. But I think that gods are not allowed to just come and go.
Into each other's territories.
Right. Mm.
I think Hermes also is allowed to because
he's the messenger.
He's the messenger.
He's the messenger, and I think because Hades allows it. He seems to get along fairly well with Hermes and everything. You know, they have a very like brothery relationship. And so I think he gets to go there because Hades lets him.
They've also, I think you see it more again, if in the first couple chapters I read of Hades' book, in his interaction with Aphrodite, you get a better sense of these people have been living forever. And so the concept of if I win, I get a favor to call in at any time, no matter what it is, matters a hell of a lot more, because their moves and counter moves on their chessboard are not ones that take years. They're ones that take eons to come into place.
Yeah.
You know,
we don't think with the gods' knowledge.
I'm sure it's very interesting. If only it had been in this book.
That's what I'm saying. Smash them together. Make one. Put the peanut butter in your chocolate. Put the chocolate in your peanut butter. You know what I'm saying?
I have noticed that that's happening a lot, though, with some of the books I've read, where they're turned into like duologies or multiple books. And it's very clear that they should have just been one book.
Yeah.
See, and I really don't like that. I want them just to be one book.
Well, and it also helps. I think it, you know, it helps obviously your characterization if you're in this case turning a dual POV into just two separate books, but also it helps your plot because you need to have people want the classic plot line. I'm not saying you need to do a 3-point or a 3-act plot, or if you want to do a 7-point structure, if you want to do whatever, but you still need the big climax and then the resolution. And sometimes in these books, like in this one, you get Persephone getting her power and it's great, and she fights back against Adonis and Minthe and
her mother
and then she and Hades just kind of like get back together at the end.
Woo, we're fine.
Yeah. Hecate is just like, but you guys love each other, so get back together. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, that happened too easily. I'm like, there.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, we can blame Stephanie Meyer for this one. Because I don't remember this being a huge trend until she was like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to tell Twilight from Edward's perspective. And everybody lost their fucking shit over that. I think you can blame a lot of things on Stephanie Meyer.
And I do.
And we do. You want to know my favorite butterfly effect, the thing that has ever happened? So 9/11, right?
Yeah.
That leads to Gerard Way writing all this music in My Chemical Romance, which inspires Stephanie Myers to write Twilight somehow, which then inspires what's the Christian Gray one?
The 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey, yeah. Which then inspires the movie 365 Days, which is horrible. So they just progressively got so much worse. And it all started because of 9/11. So everything was downhill from there.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people it was.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Not for that reason.
No.
But, you know, it's just further evidence.
But I will say, we do get one cute scene, and that was the baking scene.
I loved the baking scene.
Can I be so honest? I had a very different reaction to the baking scene.
I thought it was both cringy and cute, and I, like, almost every paragraph of it slipping flat back and forth between this is cringe, but it's cute.
I didn't even have that. I just didn't care. I forgot it happened until you just now brought it up. It didn't register for me at all. I just was like, sure, whatever.
It felt very out of place with the rest of the book. Like Hades just going to her little apartment and baking, and Lexa being like, sure, Hades, the god of the underworld, he can totally come to our apartment. And just not asking any more questions, which I'm sorry. If one of you was like, so Hades, he's going to like be around a little bit more, I'd be like, you need to stop. We need to have a conversation.
Many conversations.
I did like, though, when he showed up and he was in like sweatpants and like he was in comfy clothes, and she's like, you didn't own those before today. And he's like, no, I didn't. That one made me laugh.
Again, it did not register for me. I vaguely know the outline, but yeah. I'm
they
just
baked
like,
and then watched Clash of Titans.
I remember that, and I remember going, so in this world where the gods exist, the Clash of Titans still yeah. somehow happened.
Yeah, that one was a strange callback, or like not a strange insert there.
And not only did the first one happen, which
the remake,
the remake also happened. It's a little confusing.
I think I would have accepted that scene more had we had a little bit more build up to Hades existing in Persephone's world.
Yeah.
Because everything up to that moment is Persephone existing in Hades' world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that leading into sexy time is how Demeter like inserts herself into the situation. Because she walks in, they're like in the bed. And
she didn't even walk in. She just materializes. In.
Yeah. And Persephone's like, wait, Hades, come back to bed. And her mom's like, bitch, what the fuck is up, Kyle?
Why was Demeter even there?
She's just being a bitch.
Nosy bitch.
Just being a nosy bitch.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want with your new boyfriend who's over at your apartment for the first time, is for mom to show up.
Yeah,
at least he knows who her mom is.
The idea of calling Hades your boyfriend feels wrong.
Yeah.
That's what they were, though.
I know. Yep. But, like, see, this is why I don't need Hades and Persephone's origin story. I need them established in a relationship so I don't have to feel weird about it.
It was kind of satisfying to me that she was, like, she, like, tried to materialize Persephone away back to the greenhouse, and she couldn't because Hades' mark was on her arm, and I felt his shit-eating grin at that point. Just his little, like, what you gonna do? And I'm like, eh.
Yeah, I was hoping more for of a Persephone standing up to her mom at that moment. But we got there.
Yeah.
We got there.
I do like the way she parted things, though. It felt more mature than the Persephone we see throughout the entire book. But she ends it with, come find me when you're ready to reconcile. And
yeah.
I'm like,
she said that and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Atta girl.
She was like definitely channeling Hades energy for that moment where he's like, listen, you want to be a dumb bitch, be a dumb bitch.
But you be that over there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're ready to have an adult conversation with me.
Right. As opposed to Persephone's attitude, which is usually like, you're not my real mom.
Oh, no.
And then she tortures Adonis and Mint.
Yeah, she goes from 0 to 60 real quick on that, where she's like, oh, I got powers? Watch me fuck shit up.
Which honestly gave me actual Persephone vibes more than anything else in this entire book. I was like, oh, yep, that there she is.
Mm-hmm. I thought Adonis had it coming, though.
Oh, yeah.
So that was fine.
Yeah, I felt like Adonis had it coming way more than Mint did, but that's me.
Laughed because he made the comment about, you know, I have Aphrodite's favor and she's gonna do all this shit, and I'm like, bitch, she don't give two shits about you.
No, she's actively invested in trying to get a different lover that she doesn't even like, but you know, it's better to be loved than not have love at all. This again might be in the chapters that are in Hades' book.
Yeah, so,
spoilers.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I remember her wanting to get her lover back, but not that she didn't actually like him.
They have a whole conversation about how her husband isn't paying attention to her. And
yeah, that's in this book too. Yeah. The God of the Forge. What's his name?
Hephaestus.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, are you sure you want me to do this? And she's like, that's where the line comes in, where she's like, it's better to be loved than to not be loved. And he's like, even if you're not being loved in return? She's like, yeah, I've asked Zeus for a divorce. And it's, yeah, so I don't know. I'm more interested in that now is the problem. Like, I almost wish I hadn't listened to those next two chapters, because I'm like, wait a minute, give me the Aphrodite Hephaestus story. Like, I'm very invested now. I want them to find a way to come back to each other.
Cool.
I guarantee that's not going to come.
No.
That's not going to be the center of these books. And I'm very sad about it.
Because here's the thing. In Greek mythology, Hephaestus and Aphrodite didn't really even like each other that much. And she was constantly fucking Ares.
In this version, she's been fucking around a lot. And the way that Hades reacts to it is, he's like, I don't think Hephaestus would dare to try and convince you to be monogamous. Mm.
Which is fair when you're the goddess of love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so spoilers ahead for book two. Okay.
All right. So with all that in mind, let's talk about our ratings.
Ratings time.
So
are we doing a jingle for ratings time now? I like
ratings
this.
Ratings time.
I like it. You have to do it every time.
Yep.
God damn it.
What did you expect was going to happen?
Ratings time.
All right.
Okay. What is your spice rating?
This one was pretty good on the spice, at least in quantity.
It was well written in quantity. It wasn't like a lot of variety, though.
No, but like, you know, she had her worship moment. He had some worship moments. The dirty talk, like I said, worked for me in this one. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give it a solid 3.5.
That's what I was also gonna go with.
Me too. Look at us, we're becoming in sync.
Ratings time.
What about romance?
I wasn't super into their romance. It doesn't even feel like at the end, like they're like, they say they're in love. They say I love you to each other, but also that like sort of comes out of nowhere from him. So I don't know. A three. I'm going to commit to a three, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was leaning to. Because like, I wanted there to be more cuteness.
Uh-huh.
From them.
I was originally thinking a 2.5, but I think I'm being a little harsh, so I will go with a 3 as well on the romance.
Look at us go.
Yay.
What about your overall rating?
Don't start with me on this one.
I'm gonna stick firmly in the middle with a 3. I have a lot of things that I liked about it. It felt very juicy to read. And what I mean by that is I was just like, oh, I'm gonna read this and I'm gonna read this, and it's just like eating fucking popcorn. You can't stop. But I also had things that I needed more. And we've talked about most of them. So
mm-hmm. I rated it a 4 on Goodreads, but as you know, you cannot do a 0.5.
Yeah.
So I'm more of a 3.5. I did actually really like this book. I like I have said, I have a love of Greek mythology. So all the little like bits and bobs and everything that were stuck in there, I really appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going with a 3.5.
That's fair.
I think I'm going to go also with a 3.5 on good faith that these books get better. I really do think that this is like a setup book and the other ones must give us much more candies, much more good. So I liked it. But I also had a lot of moments where I was sort of meh on it. So 3.5.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I just can't, without reading the future books,
mm-hmm.
I can't say, is it like, what's it going to be? I think I'm just mostly disappointed that we didn't at least get some of Hades' perspective. It didn't mm-hmm. have to be completely half and half. It could have been 75-25.
Yeah.
I just needed something to like give this character more motivation and more depth.
Well, I think my complaint about them being split this way is I don't like reading the same story twice.
Yeah.
And so even though it's coming from Hades' perspective, I'm not strongly motivated to read his books, but I also want to continue the story. So there's an irritant to me on that front. Yeah. That is going to be the biggest thing hindering me from going forward in the series, is I can't do things by half measures. I don't start a show and go, well, I'm going to start 5 seasons in. I have to go all the way back to the beginning, even if it started in the fucking 70s. I'll be like, well, I got to watch it from the 70s. Right. So I can't do that with these books. I won't be able to skip Hades' perspective, but I also just want to get to the next part of the plot.
Yeah, I completely understand that, because I'm the same way. I'm like, because I thought about that reading the second one, and then I was like, I don't want to read the same story over it again, though.
Right.
As much as I did enjoy this book.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say online that it is definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But granted, you know, we've gotten all sorts of recommendations and stuff from people on the book talks that are not right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I guess we got to talk about what our recommendations are.
Yes. I can go first.
Okay.
Good.
I would recommend Lore Olympus, which is the comic series that is a Hades Persephone mm-hmm. story. In fact, the beginning of this book, I was like, is this, did I somehow screw up my storylines? These start very similar. So I would definitely check out that. I probably should say who that's by. Hold up. Who is it by? Un momento. It is by Rachel Smith. Or Smythe. I'm not sure.
Okay.
There you go.
I believe you. I have seen, I haven't read the comics, but I have watched videos where they've animated it.
Sure.
Very nice.
The style is, it's very stylized and it I is. Liked it.
It is.
So this is not romance in any way, shape or form. There is occasionally romances, but like it's a kid's book. But I would go with the Percy Jackson series by Rick Riordan mm-hmm. because it is the reimagined telling of certain stories and everything in the modernization of certain stories and kind of history repeating itself in certain ways in the within the Greek pantheon, which is really fun and I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have two kind of out of the box suggestions, so I'm gonna have to explain them. Sorry. The first one I don't need to explain too much, but Hades Town. If you get a chance to listen to the music, or even better, if you can actually go see the show, I highly recommend. It's very good. It's a play. Well, it's a musical. So, and it focuses a lot more on Eurydice and Orpheus, but manipulating things in the background are, as the story usually goes, are Persephone and Hades. So you get to kind of see that relationship that's been going on much longer.
Sure.
The other suggestion I have, and this one is out of the box, but I don't give a fuck. so there's this show, this sci-fi show called Lost Girl.
Oh,
and
so good.
It's a very good show. But the it's a last season, it's very cringy, but it's also a very good show. But the last season is not very good. But the appearance of Hades and some of the other gods happens. And the actor who plays Hades in that one, to me, is the most Hades there's ever been. I'm still to this day like, oh my God, that man is hot. Keep in mind, at the time, I think he was like in his 50s and I don't give a shit.
That actor is in a lot of things.
He is in a lot of things, and I've always found him attractive.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Want to hit us with that name?
No, she didn't tell me.
Oh. What?
I don't know. It just shows me a picture. It doesn't tell me. Okay. his name is Eric Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah. So literally you would have to get through like, I don't know, what is it? Like season 5 that they finally show up? Maybe season 4. You would have to watch a whole lot of show that has absolutely nothing to do with the Greek gods in order to get to it. But you could also watch clips online. So
to be fair, it also is a show that takes a lot of different fairy tales and myths mm-hmm. and twists them into its own universe.
It does.
So there's that.
I would also just recommend watching that show because it's enjoyable.
It's very early 2000s though.
It really is. And you should not be watching this for its special effects
and some of the acting.
It's really bad. So like I said, out of the box recommendation, but it's out there.
By the way, speaking of the most Hades I've ever seen, there's a point in the very first of the Percy Jackson series, The Lightning Thief, where they're down in the underworld confronting Hades. And he just kind of offhandedly, he's like, I've met a lot of the Greek gods now. Hades is the first one that I believe it. Because he just like, because he meets Ares on like a fucking motorcycle.
Where else would Ares be other than on a motorcycle?
Yeah, and it's just that, like, and so Dionysus is the camp director, and yeah. He's just, like, sitting there playing Pinochle and drinking Diet Coke. He's like, I've met quite a few of the gods now, and Hades is the first one that I'm a little scared of. I'm like, as you should be, bud.
So I do have to ask this question, because we're doing recommendations, and I feel like the very clear recommendation is Neon Gods by Katie Roberts. And as the only one who's read it...
I started to.
But did you finish it?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I DNF'd it.
You DNF'd it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that was the right choice. As somebody who finished it with a lot of frustration at the end, that was the right choice. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and spend minutes and minutes shitting on this book. But what I am going to say is I don't get the appeal. I get the idea of the appeal. If you're a fan of voyeurism and BDSM like in clubs and things like that, and then adding on Hades and Persephone, in theory that sounds fucking awesome,
which but, I would be, but I was just like, I no longer care.
Well, it's a lot of boring political intrigue that doesn't work very well. There's, like I said, this weird system for the quote-unquote gods. They're more like rulers than gods. It's sort of complicated. And for it being hyped up for being this like crazy sex book, somehow they turn like voyeuristic BDSM sex into vanilla and boring. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. If you want to read it, by all means, go ahead. But for me, it was one of the books that almost made me go, I'm not sure I want to read romance anymore.
But if you've read it and you like it, more power to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Not judging it. Yeah, if it's something you liked, it was not for me.
Okay. Then I will not add that to our recommendations. As yeah. Two-thirds have said no.
No.
I got bored. And
that's not what you want when you're reading a book.
No. Yes.
Especially a smutty book.
Yes. I was like, is there something wrong with me? What am I missing that everyone else is getting? And that I still don't have the answers.
Well, on that note, if you liked this episode, please find us out there on the socials at Wrong Dust Jackets, especially on TikTok and Instagram. But on most of them, you can find us. Also, go out to our website at wrongdustjackets.com. We have our list of upcoming episodes. We have blog posts reviewing books that we are not doing as episodes, so you can get even more content. And we'd love to hear from you. So please drop a comment. Drop a suggestion. We will do recommendations. We read a spider sexy monster book. We will do recommendations.
And big enjoyed facts. It.
Yeah. So
goodbye.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Okay, goodbye.